Who else has praise?
I always have one.
All right.
Just being well today is a praise, but you know, since August 19th, God seemed to have blessed me just abundantly. Of course, probably more than I deserve anything, but just so abundantly in just every which way.
Okay.
Just having the, well, I wound up with two more dogs, and I go on the yard watching.
I thought you said God blessed you.
Yeah.
This is praise time. This is not complaining about how things have gone wrong. Time.
I'm not complaining at all. I have two dogs. I love going out in the yard, watching play and all that. It's just...
Okay.
And you know, when I look up at the... I sit there and look up at the sky and see how high the trees are.
Well,
and just see the majesty of God. And I mean, those leaves are about 70, 80 feet in the air and just so perfect. And every time I see that, I thank God for His majesty.
I agree. And that gives me a praise.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me that ended up with two dogs, it was you.
And two more, I got four total.
Oh, well, they're twice as much praise up there.
Yeah. Oh, they love me.
Me too.
They really love me.
I'm glad.
All right. Daryl? First of all, I praise the Lord I made it this morning. Pretty stiff in the back, and the wife had a headache, so that's a great excuse. We'll stay home and take care of her. You can take your hand in the church. Lord, thank you for I'm here. Another praise may be a little corny, but that's the lightning's in the shop, ain't it?
Not because there was anything wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
Well, they had recall things. They had to put the chip in.
Bring it back.
That they didn't have because the world ran out of chips. And that was the one that gives me my heated steering wheel for the winter.
Right. Well, isn't the heated tailgate keep your hands warm while you push it in?
Nope.
Love you, Pastor.
Yep.
Light that one up.
Yeah. Okay. Elizabeth and Glenn.
So, I've had to move this weekend, and my praise is I didn't even have to ask. Lisa told you about me moving and possibly needing help, and then next thing I know, Josh is coming to help me. And he showed up yesterday and had all the big stuff moved in no time.
So that's how we roll.
That was a real blessing, because calling all those places, trying to get a quote on just the small amount of stuff that I had, they won't be exact with you, and then
Well,
with men, other praise.
That's what deacons do, is they serve. Lance.
Okay, my praise is I was over at George's house with Alvin yesterday, and we rigged up a block and tackle out of a big oak tree way up high, and we winched it halfway up. But it was so heavy, we got to wait for the water to run out of the pontoons, and we're going to wheel it up a little more and a little more.
That's the way you do it. And you didn't die.
We didn't die.
All right. Go ahead, Daryl.
Anyways.
Like she said, when Lisa and I got married and moved into our house together, the church moved us, three-bedroom homes, moved us all in. Because both of us are down in the back. You know, they done it all, took care of us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The church.
Yeah. Well, that's what friends are for. And that's what we definitely are.
I got another praise too, if I can.
Yeah, it's not your turn yet, though.
Right. I got another one.
Somebody had a hand up, and I didn't got to yet. It was Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay.
Hello, love.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Mary.
My praise is listening to you this morning. What you said about joy. It hit me. I want to know that whenever I have a room special for prayer time, once I walk into the room, I'm just full of joy. And then, especially on Sundays, I'm so full of joy. When I come here, I'm overflowing with joy.
Amen.
That's joy, the Lord, man. The Lord is awesome.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
And this, and like Daryl said, it's like a family thing. That need to move, she need to move, somebody from the church, help them. They're all family. If we only know that people need help, we'd be willing to help them. But we don't know, we just don't know.
You know how I handle that? When I hear that somebody needs help with something like that, I tell the young men.
You better have
I'm learning.
That's how I do it nowadays.
I'm learning.
It used to be different, but it's, that's how I do it now.
Yeah.
I know more. Lisa, what's your prayer?
I'd like to praise the Lord for the opportunity for 8 of us to go to the ladies' retreat that Northwest did this weekend. And I can't even put into words what I received from it. And I don't even know how to explain it. But anyway, it was really neat. And we have a lot of great ideas for future stuff. And it was just
yeah.
For all of us.
Well, that's what joy, that's what unspeakable part is. Can't explain it.
Well, you know, we need to do something like that about 3 times a year, because you're just shutting out everything else for 24 hours, and then your travel time, if you're lucky, to do it that long, and shut that out and just hear about the Lord and let Him speak to you and hear people's testimony about amazing things that He's done.
Morning, Eve. Well, that's what we're talking about now. Amazing things that He has done.
Right.
So we don't do it 3 times a year. We do it every week. Okay, Norman.
All right, I got another one. My air conditioner, the compressor went out on my car. And the thing besides that, the vacuum hoses were going, so it would always blow up on the window. Wouldn't blow out the thing. Anyway, Jason, who I know from church, you know, Lone's Boys One Stop, he paid for the compressor, and he had his mechanic, the shop mechanic, do it for free. And now he put the new compressor in, but he's fixed the thing so it blows out the right way now.
Hey, praise the Lord. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Who else? Anybody?
For free, by the way. All for free.
For free. Yeah, that's even better. Yeah,
Vicki?
I just want to echo Lisa's sentiment about the ladies' retreat. It was awesome, and I got a lot from it. And again, hard to put into words what God spoke to my heart. But other than missing my husband a whole lot, it was really a wonderful opportunity.
You missed him a whole lot?
She wouldn't stop talking about you. And it was so cute because we got in the driveway, and he walked out the front door.
Oh.
You know, he was tracking me. He would say, "Huh, Conroe. Oh, what you stopped in Madisonville, huh?"
That's cool. I like the ground basketball. Not worrying about it.
Not with an app. He gets a ping from our credit card.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of pings.
I didn't see it. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Kind of like it.
Well. I've learned not to mind.
Well, nowadays, you know, with situations like it's good to have that kind of stuff with however you do it, because of safety, especially for women out, you know, running errands and stuff. You just never know what's going to happen.
That's true. So, no, I'm all good with it. It's all.
If I disappear, he'd say, "Well, the last time she used her credit card was in Becky's 30 minutes."
Yeah, one time it was just coincidence, but she was like, "Hey, I'm buying their shoes." I was like, "All right." And I saw on the credit card, it was like, "Palazzo Shoes, New York, $389. Oh, it was fraud, but it just out of it. Like,
oh. Eyes open up.
Shoes. Bunch of furniture in New York or something.
Yeah, right.
Well,
there better be some
for that prize.
Yeah, there's that. Other praises, who else? Well, I have one for Yvonne over here. Her husband Guy came with us today. I praise the Lord for that.
Amen,
sir.
Glad you're here, buddy.
I have a
praise. Yes, Eva, go ahead.
My praise is I'm just thankful to be alive today.
Yeah.
Me too.
Is that because of something that just happened that initiated that, or are you just thankful to be alive?
I'm always thankful to be alive. But
pray every day.
On Friday,
every day.
I had guns drawn on me. I had 3 ladies that jumped me. I was spat in the face. I'm thankful to be alive.
Amen.
I'm thankful to be alive.
Amen.
I just know that in the midst of all the chaos, all the trauma, that I'll be coming to my Bible classes and learning how to stay humble and learning how to step back and not let the old lady that I am come out of me that used to be.
Amen.
Kept me alive, and that I'm here to be alive today. I'm thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm just so grateful to be. I'm so grateful to be a member of this organization, because I know where I was, I just never would have taken the initiative not to do what came to my mind.
Yeah.
So I'm just thankful to be alive.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But I know the devil is this. He knows what. Yeah. He knows the journey that I'm on.
Yeah.
The devil is busy, but he is still a liar.
Amen.
He's still a liar. Because I'm not going to let him win.
Amen.
I'm not going to let him win.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, he's already lost.
Yeah.
And somebody once told me that when the devil starts giving you a hard time about what's going on in your life, maybe you ought to remind him about his own future.
Yeah.
Amen.
A lot of times, if you already been bugged by the devil, you must be doing something right.
Yeah.
You make threats of
him. Yeah. Well, ladies had 8 on their journey this last week, which was, it's got to be a new record or something. Is that? I don't remember y'all having 8 before. That's a pretty good group. And getting them all in Clarissa's little SUV, that must have been a thing.
That actually didn't happen.
No.
Seven, eight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. You guys had a great time, and it was just it's a real blessing to see you come back fired up and praising the Lord. So, all right, anybody else before we get into the lesson today? Vicki?
I'm just grateful Jeannie's back. It's nice to have one of our members.
Amen.
It's like we're not old.
I'm happy to be home.
Yeah.
I need to be fed. I'm starved.
Okay. We'll see if we can fix you up on some of that today.
That's the only bad thing about going to see family.
Well, look around the room. Class is pretty full today. We could handle a few more, but I give you something to work on this coming week. Amen?
Amen.
We're glad you're here. We are trying to get, not working too hard at it, but trying to get through John chapter 4. And what we were in the middle of discussing were harvest principles. The Lord very skillfully uses the harvest to teach us about winning people to Christ. He tells us the woman at the well who was out there at noon because she didn't want to be out there when the other ladies were out there. She didn't have a very good reputation among the people of her town, and so it just so happened that it accidentally Jesus just happened to be there when she came to the well.
No,
accident. No, it was no accident. It was no accident that he showed up in your life when he did either. That's one thing Jesus don't do. He don't do accidents. And he don't do coincidences. No. He saved you on purpose.
Several times.
On purpose. Last week we were, how many of you were not here last Sunday? Well, several, yeah. Last Sunday we were talking about some of the spiritual experiences that caused you to start thinking about needing the Lord in your life and going in that direction. We heard some pretty good testimonies last week. You kind of missed it if you weren't here last week. I don't remember teaching you anything, but it was amazing to hear what God did in your life preparing you for what was coming. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He talks to this woman. He tells her all things whatsoever she did. At least that's the way she put it. And she went back to the city and started talking to the men who are all gathered at the gates, you know, hanging out at the gates, shooting the bull with all the guys. And, you know how men are. They talk about how women gossip, and what are they doing? You heard that, huh?
Yeah,
I'm
like, so what y'all talking about? Well, when you're husband, you know, you're talking about this
way. Oh. Well, not all of us do talk very much, but the ones who do, they make up for the rest. But anyway, she told them she'd come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Is this not the Christ?
Amen.
And they came out, a whole bunch of them, and heard him themselves. And the bottom line was that they did find out that she was right. This is the Messiah. And it doesn't really tell us, and I don't know how many of that city of those guys got saved that day. I don't know if they did. Everybody that met Jesus, and including everybody who realized who he was, not all of them got saved. There's a little more they need to know other than that he is the Christ. I'm pretty sure this woman did. But I don't know about all the rest of them. But good indication that many did. And so this is the situation we're looking at. The disciples had gone away to the city, probably the same city. It was right there. So where would they have gone somewhere else? They went away to do what? Who remembers? Get some lunch. They were hungry, and so they got back, saw Jesus talking to this woman, and they were wondering about it, but they did not ask. They kind of knew better. They figured, rightly so, that if Jesus is talking to her, then she needs to hear what he has to say, and this is what he does. And that's what he told them. He told them that they wanted, you know, Master, you need to eat. He said, my meat, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And that word meat is a broad word. It covers several different things, including not necessarily physical things. And he said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And he begins to teach them what's going on. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. So if harvest is in October, this must have been some around June, 4 months earlier, you reckon? I guess. I don't know why that matters, but it's there. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And we talked about how that the standard dress was wearing the turban, and usually they're a light color or white, and it might have looked like a ripe field with all of men coming out of the city at once. I don't know if that was the way it was or not, but Jesus is talking about the harvest, where they're white already to harvest. Is it white? Does that mean anything? What's he talking about?
They're ready to be reaped.
They talk about right. Yeah,
it's right.
The harvest is right. And he goes on to explain this. He says, "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." So, what kind of harvest is Jesus talking about?
Men.
He's talking about souls. There's no doubt that that's what he's talking about. He flatly says so. "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." That's how it works.
Yep.
It's always worked that way. You understand sowing and reaping. Josh, our farmer boy, he's in there teaching kids today, but he would tell you all about sowing and reaping. Many of you. Anybody in here raise a garden?
Yep.
Not me. I can. Anything I can put down, put in the ground, I can make it die. But you sow seeds. We've got all kinds of scriptures on sowing. Parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow, and he scatters the seed. And sometimes it falls on rocky ground. Sometimes it falls on
good ground,
barely survivable ground. Sometimes it falls on good ground. And are you supposed to check out the ground before you sow the seed?
Yeah, definitely. You're supposed to check.
You gotta prepare the ground.
Yeah, you gotta prepare it.
What is the ground?
Well, it's always been
people.
Yeah, it's people. People. Can you know whether they're good ground or not?
Not really.
No.
Not really.
You know whether they're ready. It's like whether they want to listen.
You need to go out sowing the seed of the Word of God. The seed is the Word, by the way, God's Word. You need to sow the seed like Marines go to battle.
Kill them all.
Let God sort them out. That's what. That's how they feel. So I mean, don't discriminate. Sow everybody. Tell everybody about Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
You don't know if they're good ground or not. It's not your job. Your job is to sow the seed. Sow the seed. Sometimes we think, oh, our job is to get people saved. No, it's not.
Never was.
Your job is to sow the seed.
Amen.
Some of you may have a job that is involved in people coming to the Lord and getting people saved. I have that job. But it's not exclusive. I'm not the only one who can do it. I don't just reap either. I sow, too.
Yep.
Who did Jesus tell to do the sowing? Let's get a little more specific about that.
Save people.
Who do you give the responsibility and the job to?
Church.
The church. His church. He took them up to the mountain where he had named them disciples and apostles, actually. And he took them up there and he said to them, he said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." And that word power is a Greek word called exousia. There's another Greek word translated power over in Acts chapter 1, and that Greek word is called dunamis. Exousia means authority. Dunamis means how to get it done. The power, the actual literal getting it accomplished. Dunamis is a word that common English word is comes from, and it's the word dynamite.
Yeah, great power.
Dynamite.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that was. But one kind of power is really different from the other kind of power. Now, the policeman, he has both of them. He has the badge, which is the authority, and he has the exertion, and he has the sidearm, which is the dunamis. So he has both. James there, he's got both. He's got his little badge there. That, of course, it's not a real metal badge, but it's still a badge. And at any rate, he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So that's how I know that you're supposed to tell everybody. Our church is supposed to reach everybody.
Amen.
That command has a great deal to do with our church and what kind of an organization. Now, Eva said she was glad to be a member of this organization. The church is an organization. It's one of the three organizations that are instituted by God Himself. Not all organizations are.
Amen.
You know what the three organizations are? That God invented by Himself.
Government.
That's one.
Marriage.
I'm going to four.
The church, human government, and the family. He's right. The family. The family. And the family consists of what? A man and a woman. And the fruit that comes from the man and the woman.
And a few dogs.
And what? I'm just going to leave that alone. I could talk about that a while, but I'm not. I'm just going to let that go. It's hard, but I'm going to let it go.
You're working with it, huh?
Yeah. But the church is responsible for taking the gospel to the end of the world.
Amen.
And it wasn't those 12 disciples. There was only 11 there, actually, but it wasn't the individual Christian. And you need to understand something. It is not the responsibility of the individual Christian to reach the lost. It's responsibility of the individual Christian, what God tell them to do. He said they get saved, you get baptized, which makes you a part of the church, and then you do what God's called you to do as part of the church. That's our job. The church's job is to reach the lost. Your part in that is to sow seed, nurture new believers. There's a lot to do in a church to carry out the work of the Lord. The primary work of the Lord isn't exactly the winning of the lost. What is the primary work of the Lord that the church is responsible to do? Bring Him glory. That's number one. That's truly the primary job. Now, does winning the lost bring Him glory?
Yeah.
Like few other things you could ever name. So they're kind of, it's kind of that, but it's a little bit bigger than just that. Sowing seed. When somebody comes to Christ, which pretty much most everybody in here is saved, I think, or maybe on the way to being so. But all of you had somebody being used of God to plant. What did they plant? I mean, we know the seeds, the Word of God, but what did the messengers tell you along the way that God used to bring you to where you are now.
And the Word of God. Plant the Word of God.
Well, I know, but what specifically? I mean, was it Mary Shirt that said you're going to hell if you don't get saved?
No. I heard the gospel and it made me realize that I need a Savior, you know.
You know, and
I went up front and I've done the prayer.
All right. That's wonderful. But what got you into the church to hear the gospel?
My sister.
Okay. Your sister. What'd she do?
She took us to the church. Dropped us off.
She didn't go with her. She went up and go.
And I went up front every weekend and let out the Lord save me.
Sounds like she might have dropped you off on your head, but I don't know if that's true or not. But I think that's what my sister did to me. Do you see, it's not just preaching the gospel. It's kindness. It's caring about somebody.
Amen.
It's being friendly enough to.
It's more speaking for myself. I was looking for a church when I came here. And the one thing that I will never forget is when I came to the door, can't think of her name now. They don't come here anymore.
Is it Leilani?
Sam and
Leilani.
Yeah. And she gave me a hug and said, "We hug here." And then when the time to greet everybody, Paula made a beeline straight for me and gave me a hug and welcomed me here. And just that, I've been here ever since. This is where I need to be.
Yeah.
So he's got a warning already. When we go to fellowship, everybody's going to come welcome you. I'll be the first
one. Yeah. What got me here, Pastor, was Melissa? Clarissa was doing the announcement. And she said, and this book, there's five lessons to learn. And then after that, I kept wondering, how do I join? And I walked to someone else and I asked them, what do I need to do? And she said, you need to come to Sunday school. And I said, okay. I said, I'll come to Sunday school. So when I came to Sunday school, everything just led right up to taking the lessons. And when I took the lessons, I was hooked. I was hooked because I just feel like we have one of the greatest teachers that I've ever been under.
Yep.
And I'm thankful for
that. I don't know who she's talking about, but I'm glad.
I'm talking about Pastor Bill.
I appreciate that. It is Pastor Appreciation Month, so I'll accept it.
I'll get you a
couple more days.
I'll wear it out, but it's love. Yeah. When we love one another, Jesus said, it's by this that all men will know that you are my disciples. Mm. We can say we are. We can talk about what we do and how good we are at it and all that if we want to. But actually, that's pretty much shooting ourselves in the foot if we go there. But just caring, it just makes a difference that nothing else makes. It just does. So it's the sowing, it's the reaping. In the parables, the Bible lets us know that it's Jesus that is the sower. He's also the reaper. We get to help out in various stages of all this. But the principles are all the same. And, you know, I asked Josh the other day, you know, he was here. I said, when do you harvest? He said, when it's ripe, when it's ready. What if you harvest? What if you try to harvest before it's ready? It doesn't work.
Can't get the green and
leaves. Just about every time somebody gets saved. I would be willing to say every time if it's real. They start immediately caring about the people they care about.
Yeah.
Whether they're saved or not. I did. You probably did. You probably know who you upset in your family when you wouldn't shut up about Jesus.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's pretty common. Not the first time. It's normal. And even when you don't do it well, you still plant seeds.
That's right.
Yeah. I told you what happened with my brother.
Yeah.
I have several brothers, or had several brothers. I was the youngest of 12. 9 survived for most of their life, and then, but the one that was 6 years older than me, that was meaner than a snake, and I won't get into the depth of all that, but he was the one that was there in my life when I got saved, and I wanted him. Trust Jesus. As a matter of fact, I was going to make him trust Jesus. He pushed me around my whole life, so I need to push him now. But that didn't work out. Seemed like he got a lot worse for a lot of years. And then he's got cancer, and he's going to die. And I traveled back to Missouri to see him before he died instead of just going to the funeral. And what do I discover?
He got seeds, sprouts, sprouts.
All those seeds that sprouted.
Yeah.
And he had been saved about three or four years. I never knew it. Never told me nothing, which is, I don't know if the Lord's going to turn him over his knee for that or not, Val, but it seemed like it would be just. But I get back, and he's saved. He's a member of the Baptist Church in Greenfield, and he's been active in serving the Lord since he got saved.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I never would have come to that conclusion. But salvation is of the Lord, like Jonah said. One soweth, and another reapeth. Yeah. And then it says, like it says over in 1 Corinthians, and God gives the increase.
Right.
When it's time, when it's ready. And there was a lot, there's sure been a lot of people a lot better off if, this is my judgment, and who am I to judge the Lord? He picks the timing. It seemed like if he'd have saved him a lot earlier, that would sure work out a lot better for a lot of people. But he didn't. But I'm just happy that he trusted Christ, and I'll see him again.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I may chew him out when I see him, but I'll see him again.
Not telling you.
not telling me, but you probably had somebody in your family that did a lot of things to you that you'd like to not have to remember. It says here that when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. And they said unto the woman, and this, ladies, this, I know you're going to think this is just like a man, he'd do it this way. And they said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but for we've heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You ain't getting no credit for it, but now we believe. That's the attitude they got. So
yeah.
It says, now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And that's probably why that my family and the people from my hometown never listened to me much. I don't know if they did or not, but anyway, I got to sow some seeds.